KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, it's mostly clear and 22 degrees. We're looking forward to be partly cloudy today, a high of 56. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stifel Investments. In the news, police in Council Bluffs were called to the Quick Shop convenience store at 3632 Avenue G a little after 4 a.m. today with regard to a robbery. Upon arrival, officers made contact with an employee who said an unknown black male entered the store and took him at gunpoint. The employee stated that the suspect was wearing a black coat, black pants, black face mask, and black gloves. The employee said also the suspect forced him over the cash register and had him open the drawer. The employee handed the suspect an undetermined amount of cash. The suspect then grabbed an unknown amount of cigarettes from the shelf and placed them in a bag. He left the store without incident. This is an ongoing investigation, officials say, and if anyone has any information with regard to the crime, call the Council Bluffs Crime Stoppers at 712-328-7867. Red Oak Police say a parking pin on an SUV's transmission may have broken Thursday morning after that vehicle was hit, causing a strange chain reaction accident. Officials say police were called to the Red Oak Depot at around 9:52 a.m. Upon arrival, an investigation, officers found a 2009 Chevy HHR owned and operated by 72-year-old Winona C. Samuelson of Red Oak, was in the drive of the depot and had struck a 2011 Jeep Grand Cherokee in the rear. The Jeep was parked and unoccupied. There were no injuries reported. After it was hit, the SUV started rolling eastbound down the depot drive and struck a mailbox before hitting the curb. The vehicle then took a left turn and went down the hill to the north, where it ran into a chain-link fence, and finally a MidAmerican Energy-owned utility pole before the SUV came to rest. Damage from the collisions amounted to an estimated $16,100. There were no citations issued. The Iowa Department of Transportation is raising some sections of Interstate 29 north of Council Bluffs to keep traffic moving even when the Missouri River floods, since I-29 is in the floodplain. Austin Yates with the Iowa DOT says there are some critical gaps in protection. Yates says raising parts near Honey Creek, Crescent, and Blackbird Marsh mean the river would have to rise even higher to force a shutdown.
We're not going to close bits and pieces of it and basically expect people to, you know, have to figure out what's closed, what's open.
Missouri River flooding shut down parts of I-29 in southwest Iowa four times this year. Some sections are being raised by as much as 28 inches, which Yates says won't make it floodproof, but water won't spill onto the road at such a low river level like it did just last month.
The March flood, if all this work had been done in March, we still would have had to close I-29, but we would not have had to close it like in September or in June, for example.
The DOT has awarded a contract to add 14 inches of asphalt to northbound I-29 from Honey Creek to Loveland. More than 2 feet will be added in both directions near Blackbird Marsh. Work on the $3.3 million contract is expected to be done by December 1st. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is working to release stored floodwaters in the upper Missouri River Basin to reduce the chances of flooding next spring. The Corps has about 2.5 months to get rid of a little more than 5 million acre-feet of water from flood control reservoirs. The Corps' John Remus says that's doable with the amount of water they're releasing from the Gavin's Point Dam in South Dakota.
Our runoff forecast, coupled with our reservoir studies, say that if we maintain the 80,000 cubic feet per second out of Gavin's Point and the associated releases out of Fort Peck, Garrison, and Oahe, that we will reach that goal of 56.1 million acre feet of storage by the next year's runoff season.
It's been a wet year for the basin, and Remus says if there's a lot more rain, then the Corps can't evacuate enough storage, and that could increase flood risks for everyone from Bismarck, North Dakota to St. Louis. National Weather Service hydrologist Mike Gillespie says there's still a lot of uncertainty about flooding next spring. Right now, the soil is still very wet and smaller lakes and ponds are full. Gillespie says it's like putting a wet sponge in a freezer.
You'd start dumping water on top of that, all of that water's going to run off. So we just don't have that storage in either the soils or in the ponds and lakes and streams and rivers that we're starting at such a high level. It's not going to take as much precipitation to start causing problems in the spring.
He says the odds are slightly higher that the basin will see above normal amounts of rain and snow through most of the winter. The Missouri River Basin above Sioux City is predicted to tie for the highest amount of runoff in a single year in 121 years. In other news, the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office yesterday said an Audubon County man was arrested on felony and other charges Wednesday night following a traffic stop at Avoca. 41-year-old Anthony Joseph Miller of Kimbleton was taken into custody at around 11:30 p.m. on a felony charge of OWI third or subsequent offense and an aggravated misdemeanor charge of driving while barred habitual offender. He was being held in the Pott County Jail on a total of $7,000 bond. And an inmate at the Pottawatomie County Jail, 24-year-old Robert Frederickson Durham, was charged Wednesday afternoon with criminal mischief in the fourth degree for destruction or damage or vandalism of property valued from $300 to $750. Authorities say Durham broke a sprinkler head in his isolation cell. In the funeral announcements, Jan Elaine Hegrick, age 62, of Exira, died Tuesday at Exira Care Center. A massive Christian burial for Jan Hegrick will be held today at 10:30 at Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Exira. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Michael Mike Hope, age 63, of Avoca, died October 18th. A massive Christian burial for Mike Hope will be today at 10:30 at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Wayne Renfeld, age 68, of Carthage, New York, died October 19th. Funeral services for Wayne Renfeld will be today at 2 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. George Doerr, age 94, of Stewart, died Tuesday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for George Doerr will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Carl Wayne Jensen, age 82, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Wayne Jensen will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the United Church of Christ in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. Dale Miller, age 71, of Republic, Missouri, died October 18th. Funeral services for Dale Miller will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Ted Nielsen, age 77, of Avoca, died October 15th. Graveside services for Ted Nielsen will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the Shelby Cemetery. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Richard Finnell, age 59, of Fort Worth, Texas, died September 29th. A family remembrance and burial for Richard Finnell will be held on Saturday at 3 o'clock in the Wyrick Cemetery. Willis Mason, age 90, of Walnut, died October 15th. A visitation of the family of Willis Mason will be tomorrow from 4 until 7 p.m. at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Helen Flathers, age 90, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Atlantic Specialty Care. A memorial service for Helen Flathers will be held Monday at 2 o'clock at Atlantic Specialty Care. Alberta Becker, age 93, of Cumberland, died Wednesday at the Heritage House. A celebration of life funeral service for Alberta Becker will be Monday at 11 a.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. The news was brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stiefel Investments. Give him a call at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.